Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, it's officially been like, what, 3 weeks since I've been in, well, 2 weeks since I've been in this pulpit. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm excited. I'm stirred. Praise the Lord. God's got something good for us. Amen. Glory to God. You know, we didn't necessarily plan it that way, but my wife 2 weeks ago had a message for y'all, amen, and so we knew that it was right and good to do that. Glory to God. And then this week, of course, we were gone, but praise the Lord for it. It's good to get times of refreshing, you know. Praise the Lord, and I'm excited. I'm raring to go. You know, one thing it is, I always say this, whenever I go away, one thing I do is I always come back with more of an urgency, more of a desire to do what, praise God, what, you know, what we're called to do, praise the Lord. You know, as we were, you know, as most people do when you have vacation time or you have time away, you know, you don't necessarily think about all the things that you normally do, and that's one of the reasons where you're not supposed to, amen. And that's one of the reasons that it's good. But, you know, I found myself when I came back, you know, we got back last night, but I found myself today even sitting there trying to just, you know, because all these things would start coming to me and all these things that we need to do and take care of, you know, come flooding back in. And praise the Lord for vacation time, but we don't count on that, glory to God, for our direction or our rest. We count on God for that, amen. And I'm thankful that I have a Lord who will take care of me, that will watch over me. I got to take these out of my pocket because they'll probably ding. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, welcome to church to Tuesday night. Amen? Tonight's message is called, Wait, Who Are You? Praise the Lord. Wait, Who Are You? And we're going to be talking about who we are. Amen? You know, anybody received the slick text today? Glory to God. You know, we talk a lot about the plans of God around here, and that's something that's important to talk about, and we endeavor to lead people into that plan as much as they want to. I said as much as they want to. You know, if there's one thing that I've learned, and this applies to my life as much as it does yours. In fact, I was contemplating these things just this afternoon. But everything with God has as much to do with us as it does with Him. Actually, you could say it has more to do with us because God's already done everything He's going to do. Now, some people have a hard time with that. Some people don't like listening to that. Some people like to think that, you know, God is all sovereign and that God is just manipulating and controlling things. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches, and I don't like thinking that way anyways. So I'm glad the Bible doesn't teach it because then I don't got to preach something that I don't like thinking about. Amen? Praise the Lord. I can get my thinking and my liking in line, praise, or the preaching and my liking or enjoying in line, praise God. God's got wonderful things for His people, but it has as much to do with us as it does Him. We have to decide to connect to it. Now, here's a thing that all of you are going to go through if you haven't gone through it. I know this church has been going through it a little bit, different aspects where people have had pressures against them. They've had opportunities to be offended. They've had different things coming against them to try to rob them. Sometimes maybe it manifests in the just, I just don't care anymore kind of realm. I mean, been there, done that. Hallelujah. Yeah. Maybe it's just in the not interested kind of realm. Maybe it's in the I'm super tired, I'm super busy kind of realm. There's all kinds of areas, amen? There's all kinds of areas that manifest. Listen, if you're experiencing any of those things, praise God, you are not alone. It doesn't make you special is what I'm trying to say. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying that we sit there, we feel bad. Of course, I never want people to go through things. I always hate it when people are struggling or going through something. But listen, we all go through things. And one thing this society has done to our detriment is made everybody a stinking victim. Listen, we are not victims, we are victors. So we got to stop acting like victims. We got to allow God to do what God's going to do or what God wants to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got to allow Him to do that in us. But a lot of that, all of that has to do with whether or not we are connected, whether or not we say yes. Amen. And sometimes saying yes is hard. Sometimes saying yes isn't something you want to do. Sometimes saying yes is uncomfortable. Praise the Lord. But we know because the Word tells us that we can trust God. And if He says to say yes, then we know that yes is what we want to be saying. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, when I say yes, I'm not just simply saying yes. Say yes, because, you know, there's another thing I've learned by being a pastor, and that's a thing called lip service. Praise God. Hallelujah. That means that you can, what do I mean by lip service? It means that you can say anything you want. There's some people that have learned Christianese so well. You know what I mean by Christianese? Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you go to China, you hear Chinese, right? If you go to Chinatown in Montreal, you hear French. Yes. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. It's Frenchies or something. I don't know. But Christians have gotten really good at Christianese. They've gotten really good at, man, I know the things to say. I know the right things to say. And I'm not talking about from faith, but I'm just talking about because this is how we say it. I'm believing for this. Well, are you really? Praise the Lord. I'm trusting God here. God is so good. You know, all these things that we normally say and you should say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise God. Not taking it away. But you need to believe it too. Yeah. You need to back up your believing with something. Amen. Praise the Lord. You need to have something behind it for it to mean anything.
Amen.
Amen. Because God is not, and a lot, oftentimes the reason people aren't seeing it is because they've never entered that realm of truly believing. They just stay in that place of, I know the right things to say. I know the right things to lay out. You know, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You should know how to do things, but we also have to be people that are flexible. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Wait, who are you? We have to know who the heck we are. It is not enough to just call ourselves Christians. We have to know what being a Christian means, and then we got to determine that we're going to resemble that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Not resent it, resemble it. But see, so oftentimes people start resenting it. They come to a church like ours, praise God, and you're going to hear real great things, things you've never heard before. Hallelujah. And any other church, because we're the best. Some people get mad about that, but that's okay. Be mad about it. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you don't think you're in the best church, you need to go find the best church and go to it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. I just happen to believe that I'm in the best church. If I wasn't, I'd be signing up for a different church.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not going to preach at a church that ain't the best church. Amen. Glory to God. Why is that bad? It's not bad. Hallelujah. My family's the best family. You guys are all great, but I got the best family. Of course, you guys are part of my family, so hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It all works out in the end. But you know what I'm saying, amen? We have to know, we have to get excited. Part of what I'm doing here tonight, part of what this is exhortation. This is stirring, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God. I don't necessarily walk around feeling this way. Actually, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't walk around feeling this way most of the time. I'm talking about naturally feeling. I just naturally am not a person who's bent towards good feelings. Now you can ask my wife. I'm a person who naturally my feelings always want to take me to a bad place.
Yeah.
Because that's the nature of my humanity, praise the Lord. It's not the way God has made me.
Right.
What do I have to do? I have to work at putting myself back in place, amen? Yeah. Glory to God, hallelujah. We have to check our connections. We have to know our connections. We have to understand our connections. You know, if there's one thing, one of the things you do, if you go to your TV and you turn it on and it doesn't come on, what's the first thing you're going to do? You don't throw it out in the garbage. Right? That would be foolish, wouldn't it? The first thing you do is not throw it in the garbage. The first thing you would do if the power doesn't come on is, well, you might check the batteries in the remote, or you might check the way that's plugged into a wall. And if you'll notice, a lot of times with electrical appliances, things come unplugged, don't they? Well, a lot of times in our lives, things come unplugged. A lot of times as we're moving through lives, as life as a Christian, see, God didn't make us robots. See, a robot is controlled by something else. Now, I'm not talking about science fiction robots, like artificial intelligence that move around and do whatever they want to do and take over humanity and kill us all. I'm not talking about that type of thing. Amen. I'm talking about robots robots. Amen. God didn't make us like them. Amen. Like we have now, mostly what we have now. Amen. We might have some killer robots. I don't know. But I'm not preaching on that. You understand. I'm trying to give you an illustration. Will you stop arguing with me and take it in a different direction? Let's just go with where I'm going. But God didn't want robots. Amen. We have to understand something about it. You know, you can make something. There's this guy I follow on Instagram. He's a builder. He likes to make things. And he's got a whole YouTube channels, all this stuff. And he's just making stuff all the time. And one of the things that he makes is he makes these robots that move. And one of this thing he made, it looks kind of like a centipede out of plywood. But it walks around. And it actually looks kind of creepy. He didn't paint it up. It's just plywood. Amen. But it's walking around, you know, and it's got, like, it has the movement leg. You ever seen a centipede or something like that? And their little legs, you know, and it's kind of creepy, but it's just wood. It's not, there's nothing to it. It's just going through the motions. Amen. Well, see, this is what a lot of people believe of God. They believe that God is orchestrating everything. And really what that is that that's a creation completely against what the nature of our Creator is. Yeah. Our Creator created us with such wonderful ability to adapt and to change and to grow. And to, I mean, look at the races of people. I mean, you know, we believe that everything started with Adam and Eve. Well, guess what? They weren't all the colors under the rainbow. They were one color or another. I don't know what color it was, but they were one color or another. Amen. And then all the colors came out of that. Amen. Because there's adaptation. Praise the Lord. How many are glad that they, you know, if God made everything to work just one specific way, we'd all look the same. Actually, there wouldn't be need for all of us. There'd be need for half of us, maybe. But what, some people have different tastes. Some people have different desires. Some people have different wants. All these different things. God has created us in the very design. You know, in Romans 1, it tells us that everything we can know about God, everything we can know about God, we can see in His creation. I love that. Why do I love that so much? Because every time this question comes up, whether it's somebody arguing against the faith or somebody arguing against the faith in the wrong way, every time, I look back at creation and think, how did God make us? Because Romans clearly tells us that we can know all about Him, everything we can know about Him, not everything there is to know about Him. Listen, that's going to take eternity. I believe that anyways. But, you know, everything we can know about Him, we can see it. And so we look at creation and look how diverse and how different it is. I mean, if you go to, you go here and we get snow, we get the beautiful fall, but other places don't get the fall like we do. Of course, we don't get the sun like Southern California does. Amen. And we grow different things here than they grow there. There's things that grow better here that won't grow there. And there's things that grow better there that won't grow here. I wish there was a little bit more of that here, amen, but that's just the way that it is. So we understand that God is a diverse God. He's a diverse creator, praise the Lord. We haven't even got going yet, amen. Dude, you didn't put my little clock. This is it over here, praise the Lord. Is it set? Somebody set it? I'm going to put it here so I know where it is, praise God. Hallelujah. Did we start at 12? Praise God, hallelujah. Well, I've been talking and you haven't been stopping me, so that's good, amen. Praise the Lord. So we have a diverse God, a diverse creator. Amen. He's done things this way, and he intended that we would operate accordingly. And this is why the reason it's important to understand that is to understand that because of that, He isn't manipulating all of everything to make it happen a certain way. If He did, that would be completely opposite His nature and our nature. But God has made us to adapt. He's made us to grow. He's made us to be able to create, to be able to do things. And, you know, you may have a taste of this. And somebody, you know, a few years ago, praise God, hallelujah, you'd never wear stripes with plaid. Right? Now it's like a thing. I still don't love it, but it's a thing. People do it. You know what I mean? They mix patterns and they do that. But somebody came up with it, now it's good, and everybody else is, you know, a bunch of people are doing it, and they're selling tons of clothes and making lots of money doing it. But what is that? That's that diversity in action, amen? It's not a bad thing, but again, we have to understand that these things, God has set certain laws in motion that govern us, but those are simple laws. The law of gravity, praise the Lord. The law of inertia. You know what that is? Where objects in motion tend to stay in motion, and objects at rest tend to stay at rest. Praise the Lord. And all the other laws that we have, glory to God. The natural laws that keep us and keep us going, stuff like that. So He's given us all those things, but they are within some confines, amen? But God isn't manipulating those confines. If you notice, gravity doesn't change every other week. And aren't you glad? Wouldn't it stink if you decided to... I think it's okay to go for a walk, and you go out and go for a walk, and all of a sudden you float off the earth. That wouldn't be a good thing, would it? Amen? Or it's working where you can float, and you decide to, well, I'm just going to step off the building to take the shortcut, and then it's a real shortcut straight down because God didn't tell you, but He manipulated gravity. You see, God isn't doing that. It's foolish to think that, right? Amen, because God works according to common sense as well. Amen. But we have to check our connections. We have to understand if something's not working right, what's our connection? The first thing we need to look at is what's our connection to what God's doing?
Yeah.
Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Matthew 8:27. I know you wanted scripture. And so that's where we're going. Praise the Lord. Matthew 8:27. I'm going to read this to you in the King James Version. Yes. No, this is in the New King James, but I'm going to read it to you in the King James Version. Because I just like the way it sounds better. It says the same thing, but I like the way it sounds better. Can we pull up the King James Version? I don't know if we can do that up there. Well, I got it written down here. It says, "But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Of course, we know he's talking about Jesus. They're talking about Jesus. This was right after Jesus calmed the storm by speaking to it. Amen. But it says, what manner of man is this? Praise the Lord. It says, in the New King James Version, it says, who can this be that even the winds? But I like the way this sounds better. What manner of man is this? And basically, they're saying the same thing, but this is kind of looking at it from kind of a different perspective. See, this is why sometimes I like alternate translations of Scripture, because you can get, not that it says something different, but you get more understanding out of it, more of a well-rounded. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. What manner of man is this? See, what they were looking at, what they couldn't understand at the time, is they couldn't understand what kind of man could do these things. You know what I mean? And this is how they addressed it, by saying, what manner of man is this? Who is this guy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They didn't recognize this, because this is something that they haven't seen before. But this is something that we need to ask ourselves. What manner of man or woman? You know, obviously, if you're a man, you're not going to ask if you're a woman, and woman, man, blah, blah, blah. But what manner of a person am I? What manner of Christian am I? See, the reason that they were asking this is because Jesus was doing something miraculous. And we have to understand what manner, the type of man that Jesus was. And this is what they recognized, that the type of man he was, because he was all man when he was here, right? The type of man that he was very special. The type of man he was did something different against the laws of nature. The type of man he was allowed him to access things that weren't accessible to other people or that they understood. And see, this is the same thing with us. The people should look at us and marvel. And when I mean the people, I mean the people around us. what kinds of things should they marvel in? Because we're walking on water, because we're calming storms. Not necessarily those things, but not necessarily not those things. What I'm saying is that they questioned Jesus, or they gave this question towards Jesus because of the type of man. They kept seeing these things in him. Amen? And of course, we understand this about Jesus' life, that that's what his life was. It was an exhibit of God interacting with human nature. It was God interacting with us, praise the Lord. It's showing us some amazing and wonderful things. Praise the Lord. And he was showing them something different. We need to have the same question. I'm not going to stay there, but we need to question ourselves on this. What manner of person am I? What manner of Christian am I? How am I reacting to my circumstances? How am I reacting to my surroundings, to the things that are happening, to the adaptation that's happening around me? Excuse me. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Acts 19. Praise God, hallelujah. Acts 19. Acts 19 and verse 11. I love the book of Acts. I love it because its name is Acts. And these are literally the Acts, the things happening, the Acts of the Apostles, the things that were happening. You know, I just think that's so cool. It's not Acts, not chop Acts, but of course it's spelled different. But Acts 19:11, we'll read through verse 16. It says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. This is really interesting. Of course, we learned this recently, but if you study it out, it is interesting. That word unusual doesn't just mean like weird, amen? But it means skilled. It means a planned, like there was a definite direction to this. And I wrote this down. Maybe this will help you understand it a little bit better. I wrote this down in my Bible actually this afternoon. But I wrote, Paul was skilled in following the Holy Ghost. Jesus was skilled in following the Holy Ghost. If you want effective workings, you must learn to flow with the Holy Ghost. These men were skilled. Paul did what he did because he was skilled. This is what was unusual about him. He was skilled at doing things and following the Holy Ghost. You know, I was doing a little research this afternoon about Jesus. And, you know, when he was, one of his customs that it talks about was that he went out to pray early. Amen. And one of the what I realized that he was doing is Jesus went up. He got up before everybody else, and he went out to the to a secluded place where he wasn't distracted. And he went there to pray. And the reason he did this was because he knew that everything he did that day, he wanted to do it under the influence and direction of the Holy Ghost. And so he spent that time with God to go out and say, and this corrected me. Praise the Lord. Because you know how easy is it to wake up and the first thing you do is you check your phone, check your, you know, your social media, check your the news, you check the, you know, voicemails, text messages, whatever you do. How easy is it to do that? But the first thing that Jesus did when he got up was to pray. He went and sought the Lord. And that's what we understand prayer is. Prayer isn't, it wasn't Jesus just getting up and saying, okay, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Give me this, give me that, do this, do that. No, he got up and started praying in the Spirit in order to download what he needed. You know, the Bible says that a good man's steps are ordered of the Lord. Praise the Lord. I love that scripture. But then in thinking about that today, I realized why a righteous man is one who seeks after God. And so a righteous man is seeking after God, praise the Lord, so they can do unusual. Why could Jesus do unusual things? It wasn't because he was any more able than you and I were. Why could Paul do unusual things? It wasn't because he was any more able than you and I were. It was because he spent that time to know with God. He spent that time with God to understand so he could hit that mark. And so it said that God was able to work unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. We know that Paul had a good relationship with the Lord. We know it because the scripture tells us this, that he had a close relationship with the Lord. This is why they were able to do these things, amen? It was not because God picked them out of a crowd and said, you're a special person, you can't, because the Bible tells us that God uses foolish things, amen, to confound the wise. So God, he is not a respecter of persons. He is not saying, well, I'll use you and not you. He is willing to use anybody who will be used. What manner of Christian are you? What manner of man are you or woman are you? What manner of person are you? Are you a person who is constantly allow yourself to be distracted by everything other than God? And never get into... See, people want to play... They love Jeremiah 29:11. They love that we say that. Some people hate it, but the people that come around these parts, they love it. They love hearing that God's got a good plan. Yeah. But there is another side to that good plan. And that's that you have to desire that plan. No. See, you don't understand. I said you have to desire that plan. The one that he has. I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. He didn't say, I know the thoughts and plans. I think about your thoughts and plans. He doesn't even care about your thoughts and plans. And this is where so many people miss it. Because God doesn't care about your plans. He doesn't care about your ideas. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying God is some harsh. No, he knows his are better. That's why he doesn't care. God knows that his way is better, so he doesn't care what you could come up with because he's looking at things, looking down on everything, seeing everything that's going to happen. He knows the beginning or the end from the beginning. Praise the Lord. He knows everything that's going to happen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's why he says, I know the thoughts and plans I have. Follow my thoughts and plans. But see, where people miss it is they stop following his plan. They stop following his, seeking his thoughts. They won't line their thoughts up. They won't be connected to his thoughts. And then they wonder why all of a sudden, oh, this isn't working. Well, I've been tithing, I've been giving. Yeah, but have you been doing it the way God has showed you to do it? Have you been giving the way God has showed you to do it? You know, there's people that, one thing I've learned about me is God has never dealt with me about giving too much. I mean of my money, of my time, of my whatever. He's never dealt with me on that. You know, now listen, we can get extreme and we can get, you know, so a person can get in error because they can just start giving out of order too. But if they do that, they're also not following the plan of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I'm talking about giving, I'm talking about everything that is enveloped in giving. So whether it's a physical action, whether it's a word, whether it's, listen, there's giving. I'm giving right now. Praise the Lord. This is a form of giving right now. When you speak to somebody about your faith, that's giving. Amen. It's as much giving as it is when you put a dollar in the offering plate, or if you give a dollar to the homeless person, or you, you know, whatever. That's giving. Praise the Lord. Cook somebody a meal. That's giving. Yeah. Amen? Glory to God. So you understand that giving is anything. It could be anything that is godly. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And that's why I say I've never had God deal with me about giving less. In fact, everything in my faith, everything that I've ever come to in Scripture, it's about giving more. Yeah. It's about doing more. It's about sacrificing more of me and giving more to God. Praise the Lord. And how do we give to God? We give to His people. We give to His churches. We give to His works. Amen. And when you give, you know, obviously, you know, giving to a church is giving to a work. Yeah. Amen. But there again, the most important giving in a church is not the money that goes into the buckets. Praise the Lord. It's the people that do the work. It's like when a pastor looks around and says, we need all this stuff done. Who's going to do it? Praise the Lord. Not here this evening, but the Henrys, Ted's dad, I was able to, blessed to be able to go to his funeral. And one of the things that I was just really impressed with about this guy was that he was known for what he did around the church. Yeah. Like everybody knew. I mean, he was like, I hope I'm not speaking out of line, but I think he was like, you know, did maintenance. He built things. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Oh, always looking for something to take care of, you know. That's an awesome testimony to have. Praise the Lord. If you're skilled in, obviously, if you don't know how to pound a nail, then don't try to go pound nails. You know what I mean? If you can't hang a picture in your house, don't try to hang one in the church. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's just, if you can't carpet, don't try to carpet in here, you know. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But if any of those things are on your heart, either find someone to do it or pay for it to be done. You know what I mean? Like, that's where people miss it, is they say, well, you know, it's on my heart to go help this person, but I can't. Well, maybe you can send somebody to then. You know, praise the Lord. A lot of people like to borrow my kids. They like to try to borrow my kids, and I don't like that. Praise the Lord, because I need them. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's funny how there's some people out there, they're like, oh, you know, they're not even related or anything, and they call you up, hey, can I use your son for this or that? Like, no. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. Now, let me get into some of these. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and diseases left and the evil spirits went out of them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, whatever they are, took it upon themselves. It was just, we know this, they weren't Christians, right? They took it upon themselves. Now, look at this. Christians, we're all going to learn something here. They took it upon themselves. Listen, you can take something upon yourself that's good, or you can just come up with your own ideas and take it upon yourself to do things. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we had a family member that went away once, went away on a vacation or something, came back, and another family member had come in and painted the kitchen. The one that was gone didn't like that. Said, I didn't want my kitchen painted. Furthermore, I didn't want to have it painted without me being asked about it. Amen? And I wouldn't have chosen that color. The one who did it couldn't understand why they'd be upset. Praise the Lord. So many Christians live like this. They take it upon themselves to figure out their own way. Instead of seeking God, they take it upon themselves to figure out how they're going to do it. They do something stupid, and then they come to God and say, God, why didn't it work out? Yeah. This is what happens. They took it upon themselves. You just painted God's kitchen, and he didn't want you to paint it. He knows the plans he has. He didn't consult you on your plan. You notice his plans were written, like that was written thousands of years ago? So one thing we know about this, it predates us. God predates us. He's had a plan for this whole shooting match the entire time. Can you believe that? Oh my God. God had a plan. He had a plan. He knew just how it worked. He knew how it worked good, how it worked okay, and how it wouldn't work at all. He knew it ahead of time. That's why he has a plan. His plan is to prosper, not to harm you. This is why we need to trust the word, because his plan, but listen, his plan is, you know, some people are like, well, why doesn't God just come down and do it? Because he doesn't want to do it that way, because it doesn't take any faith. It doesn't take anything on your part to just have something done for you. You ever met a kid that's been given everything? Praise the Lord. I don't have to go very far with that, do I? But we all know the same thing. There ain't nobody that likes a kid that's been given everything. Well, guess what? You're the same way. If you're God's kid and he just gave you everything that you ever wanted without ever using faith, you wouldn't be worth anything. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we're back to the Jews here. They took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. You know how many Christians would come to a pastor and say, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. Wow. It's the same. They're saying the same thing. Yeah. You know that Jesus, the healer that you believe in, that you preach? Yeah. Come bring that one around. Yeah, I've even made a mistake before of praying with somebody who wasn't saved, praying for the thing, and it didn't happen. Why? Because they didn't know God. They didn't have a covenant with God. Now listen, I'm not saying that God won't do things for people without covenant. He will. But everything that God does for people without covenant is meant to lead them to him. Yes. Praise the Lord. And he knows better than we do. Have you ever begged God for something on somebody else's behalf? Just knowing in your mind, you just know that if God would just do this for them, that they would just believe. I have watched God do miracles in people's lives and seen them turn away from him as soon as it got better. I just knew. I just knew that if God just showed them just a little bit. There's been people that have sat in these seats, seen the very power of God operate in their lives, and they turn. Because it's not their plan. Because his plan is not their plan, and they don't want his plan. They want their plan. They just want him to help when they need it. Yeah, see, that's not the way to live, is it? Praise the Lord. So they took it upon themselves to call in the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered. I love that. The evil spirit answered. It answered these guys who were... The spirit answered. Praise the Lord. And said, Jesus I know. And Paul I know. But who are you? Who are you? Yeah, I know them. When Paul comes around, yeah, we run. When Jesus was here, oh man, we run. But who are you? You have no power. See, a Christian who doesn't know who they are is this type of person. They're a Christian without the power of God. A Christian that doesn't know the difference between sin and living righteously is a person who doesn't know the power of God. They are a person who stands up to a devil and says, in the name of Jesus, I command you to stop this maneuver against me, because they heard that in church. But there's no power because they don't do anything to back it up. There's no power because they're not connected. There's no power because they sit there in the seat. They hear the word preached, but they don't ever want to do it in their life. They just are going to try to force it out when the time comes. Listen, guys, the word of God works every time. All the time. Praise the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that if you're not seeing something happen in your life, that you're just automatically a bad person. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is we have to check our connection. Am I the first thing that I question when something goes wrong in my own life? Well, I mean, seriously wrong. You know, there's little things that can happen on a day-to-day basis. We understand that just things are going to happen, whatever. They could be attacks, they could not be. But if we dwell on every little thing, my Lord, you'll be depressed before the day is over. You'll be ready to quit. We don't do that. And if you do that, we'll grow up. You got to get out of it. Amen. You're here on a Tuesday night, so I can say grow up. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But we understand that there'll be attacks. There'll be little things like that. But if something is just seriously going off in your life, there is a reason to be sure. And the reason is not because God doesn't love you. The reason is not because God is withholding from you. The reason is because you're not connected somewhere or there's not a connection somewhere. You understand what I'm saying? We need to make that connection. What do I do? When something major happens, something really bad happens, I start checking the connections. Well, is this thing plugged in? Is this this plugged on? You know, we got praise the Lord, I was given a brand new TV. Hallelujah. Just given a brand new TV. Yeah, absolutely. I was excited about it. But I got it home, and I got a sound bar that my wife bought me for a Christmas present years ago. You know, sound bar to put the sound out. And we got it home, and I set it up, and I went to go connect it, and of course the newer TV, which was a much better TV than the one I had, had a different connection. It wouldn't connect because it didn't have the older connection that my old TV was connected to it with. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. And so I was checking the connection, and obviously I didn't have the right wire. I figured that, so I have to get this newfangled wire, right, that I have never used before or never seen before or whatever, but I assume that's it. So, because the TV's got one and it says out, and the speaker has one that says in, so I'm assuming that they connect, right? Praise the Lord. And so I got to order the wire, and it comes. Praise God. My wife and I go away on our trip, and I'm coming back, and I'm about an hour from home, and I get thinking about this wire. I'm like, you know, as we were leaving on Friday, I saw the UPS truck pulling up, and they had that wire. I knew they did. How do I know? Because I ordered, two-day shipping, praise the Lord. And I knew that there may have been other things in there, too, but that wire was in there. I knew. Amen? And so I'm driving home, and I'm thinking, and I said something to my wife. She's like, you want me to have Caleb? I said, no, don't have. I'll do it. I want to do it when I get home, And so I get home, and I get into that package. Barely said hi to the kids. Get into that package because I'm going to get the wire out. And I get it plugged in, amen, and go to turn it on, and there's no sound coming out of it. Well, I got the wire connected, right? There's power, but make longer story shorter, there's channels too. And I even went through the channels, but Mark reminded me, he said, you remember, there's a delay. And so sometimes, because there's a delay, you have to wait on each channel to make sure you're on the right channel. It's not channels like TV channels, but at any rate, praise the Lord. We found the right channel. I waited for the delay and finally got it working. Works great, wonderful. Glory to God. But it was all in the connection. Yeah. Even there was partial connection. But even though there was partial connection, there was still something off. Yeah. And so I had to change things in order to get into the right connection. I didn't sit there and get mad at the TV manufacturer. Well, I did a little bit, but you know what I mean? But it was foolish because it wasn't because they were dumb. It was because I was dumb, amen? And I was literally dumb to that. And so we have to understand our connection is so important. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Where are we? 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, who are you? Verse 16, then the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They just got the tar beat out of them, hallelujah, by an evil spirit. Why? Because they tried to do something with the wrong connection. See, this is what Christians are doing. You can call yourself a Christian if you've received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. But that doesn't make you a good Christian. It doesn't make you an effective Christian. It doesn't make you a Christian with all authority. It makes you a Christian with potential authority. But if you're not a person who is connected, praise the Lord, and we've seen this all the time, people who don't really ever get connected to the church, and the devil eats their lunch. All of a sudden, that thing they got freed from comes back.
Yeah.
Prayed. It just happens. Yeah. Is it because we didn't pray? No, it's because they never connected. What is the major thing that I always stress is about our connection with the church, about your connection with your pastor. What do I always tell you about my connection with my pastor, my connection with my pastor's pastor? What do? I always make sure that connection is connected and grounded and exactly where it needs to be. They can feed things into my life, and I receive things that are coming into my life out of them. If offense comes that way, from that way, what do? Get away. No, because what is offense? Offense is a little devil that's trying to pull that plug. That's exactly what's happening. And so we have to understand that without the right connection, praise the Lord, even a line or a wire, excuse me, a line or a wire will go bad over time.
Yeah.
The same thing is with us. If we don't, you know, if we haven't been tending to something over a while, you know, if you haven't been tending to your stirring yourself up and things like that, your connection can break. That wire can break, or it can get, you know, messed with or whatever. Or maybe it's not making the best connection anymore. Things are moving around a lot. You understand the point I'm trying to make. We have to check our connections. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Jesus could do these things. Hallelujah. Paul could do these things because of their connection to God. Because the connection of the things that they were supposed to be. Their connection in the area they were supposed to be connected. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12. Chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So we understand this is exactly what God is pointing to the body to show us exactly this whole purpose, right? Now, these scriptures, I know these aren't unfamiliar to us, but let's not just give up on them because I got more out of them today. I imagine you will as well. Praise the Lord. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Praise the Lord. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Praise God. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, you notice there's a repetitive theme here. Now, this is the thing we have to understand. When Scripture starts going in repetitive themes, this isn't a time to tune out and say, oh, okay, blah, 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 blah. No, it's trying to emphasize something, amen? It's trying to show us something that we need to get. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Listen, this goes back to that plan. You know one of the great things about that plan, Jeremiah 29:11 plan, one of the great things about God's plan for your life is that he has fashioned that plan, he has shaped that plan, and your personality, your giftings, everything that God has made you to be, he has connected those things very, very closely.
Yeah.
The problem is we've got hands trying to be the feet. We've got fingers trying to be the nose. Not going into the nose and trying to be the nose. Amen? Praise the Lord. Yeah, the fingers are picking the nose. Hallelujah. That's not right. A finger needs to be a finger. A nose needs to be a nose. Listen, when you need a finger, you don't care about your nose. And when you need your nose, you don't care about your finger. Praise the Lord. Sometimes your finger cares about your nose because it'll keep you, you know, it'll keep you clean. Hallelujah. It'll keep you away from certain things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But, you know, we have to understand that there is importance in all of it, in the way that it works. And so when we're in a place, the key is being in the plan of God at all times. And that's what our life goal should be. Your life goal should not be to wake up today and go out there and minister to 50 people. Your life goal should be to wake up today and be perfectly in the plan of God. Yes. Because today he might have you minister to 150 people, 150,000 people, and tomorrow he may have you cleaning the toilet. Yes. He might have you traveling somewhere one day. He may have. See, this is the thing, and this is why it's so important that we decide in our hearts, how do we find God? How do we find God's plan? This is how you do it. You hunger. You thirst. You go to God and say, Lord, I'm not satisfied without your plan. And you know what? There'll be days where you just like you feel like you're so far away from God and you don't feel like anything's happening. You know what? God, I still want your plan. I'm still after it. I'm still trying. There may be days you don't feel like trying. Say, Lord, I'm still after it. I may not be after it much today, but I'm after as much as I can. Praise the Lord. You just continually. Why? Because it shows them that you're hungry. It shows them that you actually care, that you actually want the plan, and that you're in it for more than just trying to get something out of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so we see this, that we see the importance of this. Praise the Lord. And if we're, but God, now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. This is why, folks, and I've been through this, I've seen it. I've seen it in my own life, but I've been through it as well. Listen, jealousy in the local church is about the dumbest thing there could possibly be. Why? Because if you were called to it, God would put you there. Plain and simple. Praise the Lord. Now, God will put desires in us, and if there's a desire in you, that's good, but you will get there by proving yourself faithful where you're at. Faithfulness is not like, oh, I did it for 15 minutes and then I gave up. No, faithfulness is that you do it until you're called to do something else. Praise the Lord. What do I do for the Lord? Whatever he has me to do, whenever he has me to do it, as much as he'll have me to do it. There are many days where I don't want to do the things that I'm called to do, but I don't stop doing it. That's why the Bible says a faithful man abounds in blessings. That's why people give me free TVs. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's a joke, but you know, it's not though. There's things like that happen. Yeah. There's things that happen. You know what? Where that came out of though? That came out of me serving. So that specific instance came out of me serving and serving and serving and serving. You know, your pastor serves as well. I serve other pastors. I serve other churches. Praise the Lord. I spent hours and hours and hours helping Fredonia get things. What's that? Every family church. I have worked at every single family church. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I think without everyone. Praise the Lord. Except for Spain. I haven't been to Spain yet, but I got plans to go there at some point. As it's in his plan. Amen. Glory to God. I could have made it happen already, but you know, we follow God. Why do I say these things? Because I'm just connecting the TV. Amen. I'm not just saying, you know. In all honesty, if I spent that same amount of time working, I could have bought probably 30 TVs. You know what I mean? That's not the point. But, you know, people will look and see, get jealous because they see somebody blessing or getting blessed or something or increasing. And they're like, well, why? Well, no. How do I get to where that is? Amen. But if the whole goal is just so you get free TVs, guess what? You missed it. Praise the Lord. I wasn't expecting a TV. I didn't even know. It wasn't even a thing that was, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I'm not trying to preach about stuff, but I'm trying to bring up the point that as you're faithful to God, he's faithful to us. He always is. Amen. Praise the Lord. But it doesn't come overnight. That's the other thing. If the whole body were an eye, where was I? I was in verse 18. I'm all the way down there. And if there were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the hand to the, nor the again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We have to understand that this church is not just about, it's not the pastor's church. It's not, you know, Melinda's church. It's not John and Liz's church. Praise the Lord. It's our church. If God has connected you, praise the Lord, then everything that happens in this place matters to you. Why? Because it's either going to bring honor or not. It's either going to bring honor or dishonor. Praise God. If this falls apart, it speaks about the body, the God. Praise the Lord. I'm not just talking about the building. I'm talking about if the work fell apart, if the work doesn't increase. It's not just about what I do. Praise the Lord. I do faithfully what I'm supposed to do. Amen? But do we go out and grow it? Do we make sure that it's like it shouldn't be just me that when that sees something out of place and says that's out of place. There should have been people, because if anybody got here before me, there should have been people noticing it. Excellence should be a thing in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. The reason that people want excellence from God. Listen, when you desire healing, do you want a partial healing? No, why? Because that's not excellent, is it? It's not excellent if you get a partial. You know, what if all of a sudden you go to God and you're like, Lord, I've got this $1,000 bill to pay, and $500 comes in. You rejoice at $500, but if that other $500 never comes in, what good did that first $500 do? Right. It's not excellent, right? But people come into the house of God and they'll see something out of place and they don't think that it's there. A lot of people won't even think about it. I've been trained to think about things like that. Praise the Lord, because that's what's been put in me. But see, I allowed that connection to put things in me. When my pastor said this is important, you know what? Maybe at first I didn't think it was important. Yeah. But after a little while I learned, wait a minute, what he's saying is important to my life. Amen. Why? Because this is where God's planted me. And so if the pastor's saying, if I trust that, praise God, hallelujah. If I trust what's being said, see, that's part of the connection. Our connection with God is not just between us and Him. Our connection with God is between us and Him. Our connection with God is between us and Him. Praise the Lord. Because God has given us pastors. He's given us the ministry offices. This is the way it works. It doesn't change any other way. So the amount that you're connected to your pastor, the amount you're connected to, I didn't even plan on preaching on all this, but it's good, amen. The amount that you're connected to your church, do you walk in there if somebody was doing something bad in here, would you take offense to it? If you're connected, you would. If something's out of place, praise God, hallelujah. Can I bring up one? Can I bring it up? Praise the Lord. We'll just say this. I spent hours in here one day taking care of something that needed to be taken care of because nobody else saw a reason to take care of it. And within a few weeks, it was just as bad as it was when I came back to it. That's absolutely ridiculous that people think that that's okay. Absolutely ridiculous. Everything should matter because it's the house of God. Because we understand that connection is so important. Listen, I'm not telling everybody in here that you got to pay off the mortgage. I'm not telling everybody in here that you got to make sure that it's okay. But take care of what's yours at least. Take care of what you do. We have had times, and I don't think they're in here anymore, praise the Lord. We have had times where people have sat in service, cut their nails, and left the nails on the floor or on the seat. Would you do that in your own living room? If you would, then you shouldn't have a couch. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Why would you think God would ever bless you with a better couch if you won't take care of it? See, this is house cleaning stuff, but this is the truth. Yeah. This is the way people live. See, people don't think excellent. They don't think from that. Now, listen, I'm not saying that everything is always going to be perfect. No. You know, your house isn't always going to be perfect. No. But listen, we have to take care of the things that God gives us. Do you take care of your spouse? Do you take care of your children? I mean, really take care of them. Praise the Lord. Part of that is teaching them the importance of the local body. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why do my kids serve? Because I've taught them the importance of the local body. Why can I ask them for absolutely anything? Because I've taught them the importance of the local body. Yeah. They understand that church is important. How do they understand it? Because they've watched their dad and their mother serve and serve and serve and serve. They've watched their dad and mother get a phone call from a pastor and know, listen, I can't call everybody and ask them for something because some people get so bent by it. There is nothing my pastor couldn't call me for. Nothing that he couldn't call me for. I didn't plan to go on this. Whew, hallelujah. But just the truth. There is nothing that he couldn't call me for that I wouldn't do. Or do everything in my power to do. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The same thing is with the house of God. Where's our connection? You see, people allow these things to slip. It shouldn't be the pastor. When we notice that somebody hasn't been here in 3 weeks, there should be half the congregation should be putting their own stuff down for 5 minutes and making a phone call and saying, hey, man, I noticed you haven't been in church. Is everything all right? Can I help you with something? Sometimes we can't. Sometimes, yeah, absolutely. Sometimes we have no, because we're the ones they're offended at. All people need is for you to care about something else for 2 seconds more. People, see, what happens is people get in this place of staleness. They get into this place of just, we do this all the time like this. Why isn't there why don't we have those Holy Ghost services like we used to? Well, have you desired them? I mean, truly desired them? Have you sought God and said, Lord, I want the Spirit to move in this church so bad? And have you stirred other people to want the same thing? Because I can't do it myself. Praise the Lord. And I certainly ain't going to put it on. Why don't we have this or why don't we have that? Why aren't we beyond this or why aren't we beyond that? Praise the Lord. It's like, do you take that initiative? When you hear your marching orders, praise the Lord. When you hear the direction of God from being preached in the pulpit, do you sit there and see all of our lives? And this is what I'm trying to get at. Everything in our life is connected to what God does right here. And so if we take this lightly, the Bible says that those who esteem me lightly, I will lightly esteem. In other words, if what God has going on isn't it important enough to you to do something about it? To do something about it? To seek God? Say, Lord, how can I help in this area? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. praise God. Hallelujah. Do I go there, Lord? Praise the Lord. Corey needs people to love it. Yeah. It needs somebody other than just me to go down there and make a connection. Is there somebody who will take 2 hours of 1 week out of a month and go down there and meet somebody? Go down there and pray? Set aside time to say, Lord, what do you want to do? Go down, just make a connection with somebody in your own town. The same thing. You don't even have to go down there. It's the same thing. Where is our focus? What are we doing with our lives? Are we just going through the thing, man? We're just going to work every day and we're just coming home and then we do our thing at night and then we have our routine. Listen, you can do this with families because we did. You should. Because your kids need to see you doing stuff. Now, obviously, we got Rachel back there. She got newborn baby. She probably isn't going out and doing a lot of pavement stomping. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But there's times and places, and that's something else. Maybe you've been dealing with a sickness or something like that. There's things, and there's things you can't just, you can't ignore that. Yeah. Amen? But the truth of the matter is most people are so distracted, and distraction is one of the number one things in the church today that is causing the church as a whole to not prosper. When you look at the church in America and you wonder why it's in the state it's in, it's because people are too busy with stuff like this. They're too busy with, they're running around what they're doing, and they don't care enough about the things of God. They're wondering where the power of God is. They have no need for it. And the Bible talks about this. Listen, if you don't stir yourself up, nobody will. But the connection is life and death. And it's not just life and death for you, but listen, this is what's happening. It's life and death for other people, but the connection has started to get to the place where it's becoming life and death for people of themselves because they're not doing anything for anyone else, And as a result, God's power is withdrawn from their lives. They're losing it. Find somebody. Find somebody to talk into. Find some, Lord, what can I do? Seek God and just say, Lord, where, Lord, I have a connection. I want a connection. I want a greater connection. Where can I be effective? You can talk to somebody. You can make a phone call. You can do something. There is something that every one of us can do. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And if you're feeling burdened, if you're feeling like, well, Pastor, I've been running. I've been trying. Great, you're connected. Yeah. So just keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah. But do it cheerfully. Because that's the other side of it. I've been running. And now you've lost your joy. Yes. And so that's another area where you hinder the power of God. Not because God's like, okay, what reason can I take away from them now? No, what's happening is people are giving up everything and they're cutting off the power of God. They're going up to those cords. They don't need demons. Most Christians today don't need demons because they're pulling the plugs themselves. Stir yourself up. Get excited. If you can't figure out why that you need to be excited about what God's doing in your life, if you can't figure out why your life is blessed, if you can't figure it out, then go back to the Word and find out why you got in it in the first place. Research that and then start stirring yourself up with that. And if you still can't do it, then come see me and I'll get it in you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, folks, this isn't a correction to like try to make you feel worse about it. No, praise the Lord. This is about making us stronger, making us more effective. I want it. I've said it before and I'll say it again. That parking lot needs to be filled with the nicest cars in town. They all need to be living in the best houses. They have the you know what I mean? But that can't be the focus of it. That stuff is just side stuff. Listen, one more. Praise the Lord, because this is something everybody goes through. Financial issues, financial troubles. If you have financial troubles, there is a way to get out of it. But the way to stay in it, I'm going to tell you right now. You want to know what the way to stay in it is? So if you do the opposite of this, you'll be good. Focus on it. Make it the focus of your life. Praise the Lord. That will keep you in it just as long as you want to stay focused. Because wherever you put your focus, that's what comes out. This is the trap of financial pressures in your own life. I am not talking about tithing or giving. I've taken that out of it. I'm saying focus on your financial pressures. Well, where is it going to come? It's all lack of faith. It's all, listen, either trust God or not. I was faced with this very question this afternoon. I'm over my time now. I was faced with this very question this afternoon. Are you going to trust me or not? You know what I said? Yep. Yeah, I'm going to trust you, God, because I know you. I know how good you are. I know how miserable I am, but I'm not focused on that because you know what? If you're in misery, you know how you stay in misery? You focus on the misery. So if you want to come up higher, praise the Lord, look up to him and say, "Don't, you're good. You always come through." Stop saying it doesn't work. Stop saying it ain't going to happen. Look up to heaven and say, Lord, I believe your word. I trust what you say. It might not happen tomorrow, but I don't need it to. Because just like the Apostle Paul, I am content where I'm at because you are pouring out in my life every single day. Hallelujah. Got to turn that frown upside down. Praise the Lord. Just get doing something different, man. If you're stuck in a rut, do something different. Just do it different. The rut of life is simple because it's the same for everybody and it's the same all the time. The rut of life is this. It's so bad, it's so bad, it's so bad, it's so bad. You know how you stop the rut of life? It's not bad at all. There ain't no devil in hell can keep me down because I'm a child of the Most High God. Stops. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying the devil won't oppose it. Of course he's opposing it. I am fully expecting that tomorrow he's going to oppose me somehow. I don't care. I'm quitting. I ain't quitting. I'm not giving up. I will go to my grave not giving up. Why? Because that's exactly what God has called me to do. Praise the Lord. And I know you will too. Praise the Lord. Because you are good-hearted, faithful people. Praise the Lord. We're getting it done. And things are coming, man. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord.